that for all the discussions even come before, but Lord, just to spend a little bit of time in your word and just together as friends, Father, we pray that you'd be with us, that you'd strengthen us, Lord, that your spirit would lead and guide us into all truth. Thank you, Father, for every spirit of the enemy that's been thrown out in Jesus' name. And Lord, thank you, Father, for the free flow of your spirit, Lord, your direction and your heart in and through us, Father. We love you and we go on in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, so as, you know, kind of even one thing that I was, you know, even talking and realizing is, you know, a lot of people are like, you know, oh, I love God and, you know, He's everything and everything that I have is just, but when it's tested, you know, when it's tested, when it's actually, you know, when God actually says, oh, really? You know, do you really love me? Do you really trust me? Do you really, is everything that you have, is it really mine? And by and large, from what I've seen, is 95% of people that I know have a hang up in some of those areas somewhere, whether it be relationships and they won't let go of certain things, or if it's something financial, or if it's something material, or if it's a dream that they have for themselves. They want something for themselves so bad that they won't let that go because that's become their God and not Jesus, and Jesus is their means to try to get towards that God that they've made for themselves. You know, you just go down this list, but He will test someone at every one of those points. Because, and so even for me, you know, one thing that I've seen in my own life is that, you know, it has been a test. Because one thing that, you know, I think when I even was just kind of walking and starting out for myself was I really wanted the real thing. You know, I did. Like there's something in me that just like, if it was like fake, canned Christianity, prepackaged, you know, let's give you something that will, you know, just come here and be part of the program. It just made me just revolt, just want to throw up, just like, it just repulsed me. Because I really wanted the real thing. And I remember even like one time when I was in the States and a pastor offered to take me to lunch. And incidentally, he's paying for the lunch with the money that I just put in. But anyways, so it's like, I'll take you to lunch with your own cash. obvious. And we're at lunch and like we're talking and whatever. And at one point, he's just like, Glenda, what's bugging you? I mean, just like, you know, what's, you know, because just what grated at me was the fact that, you know, here it is, you've got this holding tank for all of these people there. And it's like, and even what's being advocated across the board is this is good enough. And it's not, because you know there's something better. You know there's something more. And you just, when you've come into an encounter with Christ, you even if you just tasted a little bit of that, once you've had that, You can't settle for anything less. You can't, because like there's just this thing inside of you is just like, you know that that's there, and if you're one of His, it's like you will go through, you know, hell and high water and anything in this life, if it means that you could have that which God offers to His people, and that be real and the reality that you would know and live in for your existence. And it's like, so you want that. You know what I mean? Like there's enough that I've experienced of the Father to know what can be, what's possible. And to also know that, you know what, the best this world has to offer on its best day is falls so far short of you know, I mean, it's just their best shot is so pathetic. You know, what do they have? Okay, some meaningless party with a bunch of makeshift celebrities that they created themselves that are all sellouts to the system. and, you know, whatever food, beverage, entertainment, substance abuse, illicit activities, that's about it. You know, it's like, and that's the epitome of what it is to be in the world. If you can get to that party, if you've seen it already and you've already been around it and you know these people already and you know some of them on a first name basis, and it's like, and they're all shallow, they're all empty, none of them has a real relationship in their life anyways. And you're like, well, it sucks to be you. Why would I want that? So then it's like, okay, well, all right, I've seen enough of that to know that that sucks. And people that are wanting to get in there, you don't even know what it is that they want to get into. They're like asking, trying to get into like the worst dungeon enslavement possible. So it's like, okay, so that's out. So then it's like, well, you know, the other game in town is, and the best game in town by far is the kingdom of God, but what he asks for and what he requires is complete and total utter obedience and allegiance to him in whatever circumstance and situation, where it's like, no matter what, that you will go with him. And that no matter what, we'll get tested. See, that's the irony of it, is like, if he is Lord, then what he's going to do, because my sheep know my voice, and they don't. And then something I was even talking about on Friday was even in Psalm 23, where Jesus, you know, where it says, you know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's like, why are you what in the world are you doing walking through the valley of the shadow of death? Oh, fear no evil, for thou art with me. Well, if he's your shepherd, he's leading and guiding you, you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death because he's leading you through the valley of the shadow of death, which means he's putting you in that situation, which means that he's putting you into a difficult, trying, testing, dangerous situation. And if you want the big, soft, grassy meadow, you can go hang out with the hirelings there. But if you really want to follow the shepherd, the good shepherd, he's going to take you through that. And the realization is like, you know, and in that process, everything is going to be tested. Every hang-up, every addiction, every desire, every hope, every dream, anything that you have that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ Jesus will be tested in you. And it will be burned out in you. So if you have anything that you have exalted, if you have anything that you've put on a pedestal, I had certain things that seemingly were good things in the eyes of the Christian world, even, that I had put in my own mind, of things that I had expectations in life, I had dreams, I had hopes, I had things that I thought were, I had created my own reality that I expected God to do and to fulfill. And in that process of expecting all of that, I had created something that had limited me from the experience that God intended. That had pigeonholed, okay, God, this is it. This is all that new life can be, because now this is, you know, what I've been fed, and I'm feeding it back to you. And so let's, you know, you've got to fulfill this false construct that I already made. And oh wait, now this false construct's not happening, so my faith is gone. I mean, what? You know, it's like, no, stop. Okay, pause, start from square one again. Square one being, look, here comes, yeah, seek him. Here comes Jesus. Come and follow me. That's the starting point. And then every time that something got tough, every time something got difficult, John chapter 6, he gives a difficult teaching, and a bunch of people walk away, and John 6, verse 66, 666, many people stopped following him on that day and turned away. And when he turned around and he talked to the 12, and he said, look, are you guys going to walk away too? And they said, where else are we going to go? You got the words of eternal life. So he, even in that situation, in that context, will test, but the process is like, all right, no matter what comes, do we keep walking? You know, the righteous fall seven times, but they get back up again. It's like, you know, you, all right, you made a mistake, get up. Are you going to keep walking? Are you going to keep, you know, will you get right back on track and keep moving with him? And it's painful. You know, it is. It is really, really painful, because what happens is, like, it's the same thing like you first start working out the first time. You know, that first 2 weeks is miserable because your body's producing lactic acid and you're not used to these exercises and all of these pieces, like, that you didn't even know you had hurt. And it's... Yeah, and it's just like, but if you get through that first 2 weeks, you know, then it's like, it's better. And then pretty soon you're developing strength, and then it's like, and then it becomes something that's like, it's the same thing with walking with him. It's like, he will take you through a painful process where you come into direct contact and encounter with yourself, and you'll have to deal with the reality of who you are. Now, in this process too, I know there's some really, really wicked, evil people running around in the world that would destroy you and I in 20 seconds if they had the chance. But the very fact that we still exist, and being so naive, I mean, we really are. We are so naive. There's so little that we really understand about what's going on around us. And yet, God protects and has led and guided us through this whole thing. You know, one thing that God kind of showed me over a long time ago is like, imagine like if you were, you know, okay, you sit down, you've never played chess before, and then you kind of like, you just learn, okay, this is what this piece does, this is what this piece does, okay. And then you sit down to play a chess game against Bobby Fischer on the other side. He's like, okay, here's your competition. And that's basically what you're born into in this world. You come in, half the time you don't even know what the pieces do in the first place, but you just have to make a move. And you sit down against an opponent that has been here since the beginning of this whole thing, that's looking to destroy you, that knows every trick in the book.
He's
a master at it. But then what happens is that when you get connected with the Father, he then begins to speak the moves to you. And just like, because have you ever played chess computer, or computer chess, where it's like, yeah, but like, you know, the machine will, you know, it's like, okay, move this one to, you know, rook to A5. Pawn to B8 or whatever. It's just like it'll move the pieces. It'll instruct the moves, and it's like what happens is like God links you up to His Spirit, and through Christ, and now you hear from Him. And then when He says, "Look, I want you rook to B5," now you don't know what to do. Because you're in this thing, and you may be getting set up, you may be getting trapped, you may be getting a full-on offensive coming at you, whatever. But it's like he's telling you this move here, this move here. And you don't know anything more than the next move that he tells you. But as he tells you, as he shows you, as he leads you, as he guides you, you know, it's like he takes you through the entire match. And if you're listening to him throughout the process, when it gets close to, you know, you realize at the end, whoa, he led me through this thing. I actually overcame. You know, I actually, you know, and not in the eyes of necessarily the world, but in his eyes, in kingdom eyes. So, you know, I mean, here's something too. It's like, yeah, you know, there is, you know, it's like, it is tough, you know, when it's like, expectations aren't met. I mean, you know, this, the proverb says, you know, that when something doesn't happen that you were expecting, it makes your heart sick. But when something, you know, comes, when a dream is fulfilled, it's like your heart's delight. And it's like, you know, there is that, you know, it is tough when it's like, you know, you, because on one side, there's a side of you, it's like, well, why bother? You know, why even try? It's like, every time I get up, I get knocked back down. Every time I put an effort in, you know, this is what happens. And then on the other side, it's like, well, you know what, let me just try harder, let me just work more, let me see what I can do. And both of them are like things that you gotta just kind of overcome. One is like, you know what, if he tells me to try, I'll try. If he tells me to do this, I'll do this. Coming to that point, and then also on the other side being, it's not about the outcome. That's something I'm really been learning.
The destination, but the journey.
It's the journey, and it's the obedience to what he said. Because see, we can't see the outcome from an eternal perspective. The outcome of Jesus going to the cross, if you didn't know what was going to happen, you know, with the resurrection, it makes no sense at all. Yeah, it doesn't. It's completely illogical, and yet that was the ultimate life that's ever been walked and lived on the face of this earth. So likewise, you know, for us, it's like the victory, the overcoming is in the following and in the obedience, and we strive for that. We long for that, and it's not. But in that process, God will take you to the very end of yourself. He'll take you to the very end of every hope, every dream, every expectation that you would ever have. And there has to be almost a death of all of those things in order for you to be able to receive what He has for you. Yeah, actually, but this, yeah, this Psalms 23. But the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But it's interesting because it is a journey. You know, I mean, and He does give us that green pasture, still water experience. And then He also does give us the valley of the shadow of death experience. It's all part and parcel of the same thing. And the ultimate destination is that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So it's part of that journey and that process. And you will sit down at the same table with the very enemies of your soul. You know, that's in the mix too. So I think, you know, something I've just been thinking about even recently, but it is the journey. You know, it is the journey that we're called to. It is the process. And at times it's like, you know what? Yeah, you just want to check out. You know, you've had enough. You've had your fill. You've had your share. But even in those times, the need is just to get away with Him. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It's the whole Isaiah 40, verse 31. Flip back there. But I was there. Okay, there it is. Actually, let's go to verse 28. Thou hast thou not known, hast not thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I think, you know, that need, when we hit the wall as such, there's a term from the swimming days, like if you see somebody swimming and all of a sudden you hear them say, oh, that guy hit the wall. Like in a race, you know, you'll see like, you know, sometimes you see this in like a kind of high-end competition where like they're going, and then all of a sudden like one, you know, if you see like two people really going at it or whatever, and all of a sudden like one person will just seem to like just, they just get really tired and like just, and you know, they just kind of fall off. Because that person, you know, like hits the wall. It's like basically, you know, they overextended themselves early on, they overestimated their capability, too much lactic acid in their system. They're still swimming, but it's like they just, you know, they can't push, it's kind of like over revving your engine, you know, now you just burnt yourself out. You just, you know, that's it. Usually it's like in a distance race, which again, that's what we're in. You know, we're in, you know, this is a long distance race. This is a lifelong race. It's not a sprint. But, you know, in that process, it's like there is times where we do get wore out. We do get burned out as such, for lack of a better term. But I guess it's not burnout, you know, because we're running on the right fuel. But you get wore down, you know, you get tired. Yeah, and sometimes certain things will deplete you. You know, sin will deplete you. You know, like certain kinds of relationships that are in your life will deplete you. They will suck the life out of you if you have certain negative things that are there. That said, you know, there is also, but God also calls us to be poured out on behalf of other people too. So being able to distinguish between the places where He would have you to be poured out and where other people are seeking to take and to suck that life out of you. That's something, wisdom and discernment, and God will show you that. But on this side here, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. That's something where it's like when you're down, when you're struggling, when you're, that we, when you get away with Him, He meets you right there. You know, and I've seen that time and time and time again, and enough times where I've been in a spot where I'm like, Lord, I just don't know what to do, you know. And you know the thing that's curious though for me, is like in times where, and I've had a few of these, where I really believed that I was following the voice of God, and I ended up in a really tough, difficult situation by following that leading. But it is that He leads you into the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, He will lead you on purpose. Just like Acts 16, He will lead you into a difficult, hostile situation. But because there's something that He's working out, one, in you, and two, on behalf of a lot of other people. And if your life really is His, if you really are bought and paid for and by the blood of Jesus, and you are an ambassador of Christ, then it really doesn't matter what He would put you into, because you're game. It's like, all right, if it's a whatever it is, I'm open. But then it's just like, wow, but I'm open, and I'm in something that you know I wasn't expecting, I wasn't anticipating. But overlap that then with the abundant life, which Jesus promised us. You know, He said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So there's a correlation between difficult, trying, testing, stretching times that God would lead us into and the abundant life that He promised. you know, there's so many paradoxes in this walk. Another one, I mean, that life would come through death. You know, the death of Christ on the cross, and that we now receive eternal life through that. There's so many paradoxes that are in this whole thing. And then the world saying, save your life, and that being the path of death and destruction. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And the way that he steals and kills and destroys is save your life. Make yourself comfortable, fat, and happy in this world. And that's the path of robbing, stealing, and killing and destroying you. It's the reverse of what people might think. But in actuality, that's the right way. That's the real way. But people are sold the illusion because it appeals to the flesh and appeals to the carnal mind. And they've got a lock on the media and what people put into their heads, by and large. Unless you deliberately make the decision to control what comes into your mind and take your thoughts captive as well. So, you know, I mean, today's kind of just more of a little bit of early on discussion, but just kind of a wrap up too, for kind of before we close things out for a few weeks. But it's not an easy journey, you know, and it isn't. And anybody that says that it is, you know, is either not on it or is lying. Yeah, it's not an easy journey, but that's okay, because it is the one that God calls us to. And you know, one thing that I've also seen too is whenever there's been times of just rest and, you know, you can breathe again, you look at it and then you compare the life that God allows us to live and the adventure that God allows us to have with the people that sold out to the world, and they're the walking dead. They live empty lives. They live shallow existences. They don't have a real relationship anywhere. And for them, you know, what they would hope for is just a glimpse of what it is that you enjoy every day, but they're looking for it in the wrong place, and they refuse to pay the price necessary to receive that. So they want the cross without the cost on their side. But it's there, and for us, we've stepped into that. We know that. So, you know, I guess the encouragement is, one, to trust Him. Because though He slay us, yet we will trust Him, just like Job. You know, like whatever it is that we go through. You know, two, to realize that in this life, He really does have the best for us. The best of what this life could be is in Him. And we have to trust Him in that as well. You know, and then it's also just to keep walking. You know, sometimes you feel down, sometimes you feel out. And even if you know, and sometimes if you just gotta collapse for a little while, but just don't go backward. You know, you may not be moving forward for a little bit because you're maybe out of gas, but just refuse to go backward because there's nothing back there for you. And so, I mean, even right now for myself, you know, I'm in a state right now of just like, all right, Lord, you know, now what? And which is fine. You know, He wants that. You know, He wants to bring you into that place where it's just continual, total dependence on Him. And He will work out the situations. He will. He'll make something be there in His time and His way. So, be encouraged, stay in prayer, allow Him to, if there's anything that's in your life that needs to be worked on, changed, let Him show you that, and then comply, and comply quickly, because, you know, there's no time like the present, and it's not worth wasting any time, because it's just going around in circles when you could be moving forward. And yeah, just also realize it too, where we are in the time in this world is it's a different season. And you know, that's the other thing too, even like with money and resource and all of that, just like that, it can go away. Banks close, things disappear, stuff gets stolen, you know, but God promised that He would take care of us throughout this life. So we trust Him in that. And with that, I'm going to stop there.